Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Happy holidays, everyone, as we get closer. But as is typical, the news does not stop. So today, I'm here with my editor, Carl Weiser, and we're gonna talk about a little bit of Cincinnati news this week. Then Burl, my co-host, is going to join us for our special guest, Brendan Cole. You might remember him. We had him on a little bit ago, but when you're the president of the chamber, you know all of the things. And so we're having him back because we're going to talk about a very special event sponsored by the Inquirer that's coming up, among other things. And so, hi, Carl. How are you?
Hi, Sherry.
I'm not just trying to garner favor with you, I promise. Patricia Newberry wrote a story this week about the Cincinnati Riverfront Marina, a story near and dear to my heart because I have written about it myself so many times. This is a marina 20 years in the making, I guess, kind of, right, Carl?
That's right. And when she mentioned the marina, even though I'd edited your stories about it, my first thought was, oh, yeah, I forgot about that marina, because I think I've edited about 20 stories about it over the last 15 years that I've been here. And the reason we're writing about it now is because, A, it's moving ahead. There are some new renderings. It's going to be called The Reef. And B, this was most timely, if you have opinions on this marina, the Army Corps of Engineers is now taking public comment only for 30 days. So go to Cincinnati.com. Search for Patty's marina story, and you'll see a link there where you can tell the Army Corps of Engineers what you think of this idea of putting this marina in the Ohio River.
So I like the name of it. All right. So the Brent Spence, of course, now I've just been calling it the mini Brent Spence. I know that there's like a lot of talk about naming it and everything. I think that in my head, it'll just always be the mini Brent Spence. But they're still searching for a name for it.
Yes. And Patty ran a contest on what we should call, she calls it Lil Spence.
Okay.
L-I apostrophe L, Lil Spence. And we got some great answers from all of you. So thank you for taking such great care in thinking up names for our new bridge. And there were some of them, you know, like the Joe Biden Bridge and other names, the Andy Beshear Bridge.
Did anyone suggest the Joe Burrow Bridge?
There were several Joe Burrow Bridges, yes.
Honestly, yes. The stadium and the practice field right underneath it, so it kind of is.
Yes.
I can see that suiting it.
Most of them were fairly straightforward, like the O variations of Ohio, Kentucky, the OK Bridge, because it'll be OK.
I will say, as a person who writes stories in our current system, which is ironically called Presto, Little Spence fits. Little Spence is
right.
It fits.
That's right.
So shorter, you guys, when you're thinking about renaming your organization, the shorter the better. When Visit Cincinnati was like, we're not going to be the Convention and Visitors Bureau of Cincinnati anymore, I was like, Visit Cincy, yes, headlines.
That's right. And the port.
Think short is not just for Twitter and X, yes. Too, and mm-hmm. things like that. But one of the things that's going on with the reef or the marina right now is, you know, its exact location. It's like at Sawyer Point, is that really the best place for it? But it's really because it's like there's so many things that can happen there, but the marina would be in the way of them. People aren't suggesting that we cancel the marina. They're like, well, maybe we just move it west. And that was discussed at the beginning. I can't remember why.
Well, some people are also wondering, do we actually even need this? You know, the parks has, I think, a $72 million backlog. You know, is this going to compete with the banks? You know,
but I think it's going to let people off in the banks. I've been in other cities where the marinas, where people are coming on and off of boats, and they're going in to where the restaurants are and everything. So I kind of like that.
It could, although this has its own restaurant and bar, the 200-seat. The reef is the restaurant and bar. So, yes, people could pull up their boats, have their cocktail at the reef, I guess, and then head over to the banks for some grub. But
I'm a marina enthusiast. I am. You know what? And also, I definitely remember this fact. We took a lot of money from the Army Corps of Engineers. And if we don't build for planning and everything, and if we don't build a marina, we have to pay it back, which is a little streetcar-esque. You already started building it. If you don't build it, you have to give the money back. And so I feel like this is still going to happen. You know, slow and steady gets the job done around here, Carl.
Well, it's been 20 years, so we'll check if we're still doing this podcast in 20 years.
I hope we will be, you guys.
We'll check that. Maybe we'll do it from the reef. If we're still here in 20 years, we'll celebrate with a podcast live from the reef on the Ohio Riverfront.
So, but yes, and besides, it turns out, I don't know if you've read any stories about this, all of that backlog is going to be taken care of with money from the sale of the railroad, and there will be no problems related to the ongoing maintenance of things. Not right away. You guys, I'm just being kind of sarcastic. But there is a lot of money for all of that kind of maintenance thing. And so I'm never one. I'm like, go big or go home. Don't let that kind of thinking like stop projects that would – we are a river city and we don't have a marina.
That's right.
So anyway, all right, you guys, thanks for reading. And definitely, you know, Patty, we call her Patty. Mm-hmm. She writes like really great takeouts and stories. How long has she been here, do you think, Carl? A year?
Well, she was actually here. I don't hope she doesn't
mind me telling
you.
Yes, in the 90s.
She was here in the 90s as a reporter. And then she went off and became a journalism professor.
Yes.
At Miami University. And then came back because journalism is so exciting and interesting. And fun to do. So she came back a few years ago.
So, but she does like kind of big takeouts. I went kind of scrambling around City Hall and that mm-hmm. kind of important parks, work that you can find mm-hmm. at Cincinnati.com. And she libraries. Definitely covers parks. She was like, she's like, do you mind when she first started and everything? Do you mind if, you know, I really, you know, do some focus on parks? I hadn't been to a park board meeting, like the railroad board meetings in a while. And I was like, by all means. And she's really found a great niche. And a lot of readers, we love our parks. So I use them and I get to read about them from Patty.
And she does a lot of transportation stories about the bridge, the new bridge.
Yes.
So, a busy beat.
All right. Well, let's bring on Brendan. Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. Welcome, Brendan, to the new Inquirer. I think this is your first visit here.
I love it. It's a great, great view. You look out over the city, you're going to get to watch the construction of the Brent Spence Companion Bridge in all of its glory.
What's that name going to be?
We talked about it earlier because Carl was stepped in a little bit earlier. We were talking about the possible new marina. And he seemed to be on team Little Spence. I'm on mini Brent Spence.
Little Spence is pretty funny.
I know, and it fits in a headline.
I liked Bridgie McBridgeface.
Of course.
That was humorous.
Of course. Yes. Someone had to say that.
I think you should keep that open, and we should just keep workshopping until we
keep
get the name. I think we have
names.
A little more work to do.
Yeah.
Baby Brents, is that what I heard?
I like that. It's catchy.
Baby Brents.
Baby Brents. That's a lot.
That's hard to
That's
say.
A lot, Merle.
So the marina, we got on the subject because the marina has a name kind of magically, but like it's a good one. It's called The Reef.
Okay.
So I was like, I like that.
That's what it's going to be called for sure?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I mean, that's always subject to change, but that's at least what they're calling it now.
Listen, I've had conversations. This river is such an asset for us, and we've got to do things to keep activating it. And, you know, that's one of many things that we should do. My wife, Becky, swam in that river earlier this summer as
she
part of the.
She didn't just swim now, did
the
she?
Keating, she won the Keating Swim, Ohio River Swim. She was very excited about it. Won the,
in her first time out of the gate there.
Yeah, she was great. But
did she compete as a swimmer? Like
she
in
did.
School?
She swam at Xavier.
Okay.
Record holder for a period of time.
Well, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it wasn't but like a river, total. You know, for like these
like
people,
us,
that,
like
these people that take up running,
no.
These people that take up running in their 30s and then they win
no.
A marathon.
She,
or
she had, she had swam before, but it was a great day to be on the river. And the Keating Swim is really something spectacular. There were a lot of people down there. There were people in boats at Paddle Fest beforehand. I mean, you know, this is an important body of water, and activating it is good for economic development and vibrancy in our community.
There are a lot of things that we need to get to, but before I want to stay on this topic really quick because Patty's story, which we talked about extensively, did mention you know, should the marina move a little bit, so there could be room to bring back tall stacks. And as a person who is the president of the chamber and is in charge of a lot of events.
Wait, hold on. Because this is not a video podcast, I have to describe Brendan's face. It's kind of like a combination between I'm holding back laughter and my eyes are bulging out because I can't believe you brought that up.
Oh, tall stacks is really...
is amazing.
People, it was wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
ever come back?
I don't know. There's not many of those boats left.
I know. Now's the time.
So for those who don't know what tall stacks is.
Yes.
You got to go back a ways.
Okay. It's a steamship.
It was a, what, like a, I remember it, you know, because I was here. I think it was in college or something.
It's that long ago, right?
But it was basically celebrating the Queen City's riverboat history.
We are really focused on Blink.
I knew I was going to say that.
And we're going to do some really cool things at the riverfront. Justin Brookhart, who you've had on this podcast before, has been out trying to figure out ways to activate the river. You know, I think understanding our river's history, understanding both the promise that this river gave to this community, but also that this river symbolized, you know, a part of our history that is something that we shouldn't be proud of either as a country and as a community. And so just understanding the fact that it runs right through our community still, and what it divided and what it now brings together is something that's really important to us. And so we think about the river both as, you know, part of our history, but also part of our future and something that we all have to understand.
That is the nicest no I've ever gotten. And I've gotten a lot of no's.
No.
Well, the question of bringing back tall stacks goes beyond the chamber and Brendan. I mean, it would...
I'm out over my skis on that one.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's talk about why you did come to talk about things.
What happens? So on Saturday Night Live, when you hit Emma Stone on Saturday Night Live, hit 5 times on the podcast or on Saturday Night Live, which is a goal of mine for this podcast. This is 3. Do I get a special red jacket?
Can I be like the Tom Hanks of the Enquirer podcast?
I think we're going to disappoint him in a second.
It is so funny you brought that up because I brought that up and Sherry had no idea what I was talking about. We had explained this skits to her, but when we had Jeff Birding.
Oh, I said, he's been on way more than
Yeah,
me, right?
He is our Steve Martin.
He's the Steve Martin?
He is the Steve Martin of the That's So Since I podcast, I think, with most appearances.
How many? 4?
4.
4.
Okay, well, this is 3. So I'll happily be the Tom
Hanks. I think when you hit 4, I think you get the jacket.
If I follow along the Velvet Smoking Jacket, it'd be great. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Hopefully this will be so bad.
You have to Google those. They're hilarious.
Okay. They are great skits. Yeah.
I'm all for swag, so okay.
Well, and again.
And we appreciate when people come on again, especially when they have a lot of things to talk about.
Hey, look, you guys we've talked about this the last time we were together, but, you know, the reporting that you provide, the coverage you provide of what's happening in the community, hugely important.
Even if you disagree sometimes.
More.
You got it. So, Sherry, why is Brendan here today? What are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about downtown. The Chamber has a special event. They have a special kind of promotion going on right now called Meet Me Downtown. And the Enquirer is finishing up a year of reporting. Sydney Franklin was the spearhead, but lots of reporters worked on it about the future of downtown. Many stories, and we've had such a fun time exploring our downtown, meeting the people, learning more about it. And so the Enquirer, in conjunction with the Chamber, have teamed up to kind of cap off the project with a panel discussion about downtown, and that is December 14th.
It's going to be a great event.
It will be. It's going to be at the Contemporary Arts Center. The panel has some big heavy hitters when it comes to experience, knowledge, involvement with downtown, who can talk about where we are, where we came from, where we're headed, hence the future of downtown. So with Brendan's help, we were able to get Tim Ellsbrook, who is the regional president of Fifth Third. They have such a presence here. We have Christy Samad, who's with 3CDC.
Remember, she came last year to talk about the Fountain Square Christmas tree.
She did.
I feel like she's going to be talking about more important things on the panel, but she's that was talk very about fun discussion.
Yes, yes. And we tried to get Steve Leeper, who's the director, CEO of 3CDC. He's got board meetings, but he says he might be lurking about.
Oh, and, you know, I love
if he's
Christy.
At the event, he's going to be hard to contain. Okay. So. But Steve's playing a bit. Paula Boggs-Muthing, we know her as the former city manager, but now she's working with FC Cincinnati. They are involved in developing around the stadium. We have Jackie Bryson, who's the president of the Downtown Residents Council. Ricardo Grant, who's the founder of Palooza Noir. And Palooza a bunch Noir. Of other... Palooza Noir.
Palooza Noir.
Palooza Noir.
He's been a guest, but it was pre-you co-hosting.
Yeah. And he just opened, he just opened this nightclub on 4th Street called Love.
Yes.
He's also doing Black and Brown Faces. Rico's one of the most, he's everywhere and he's doing so much to add cultural vibrancy to this community.
And then Morgan Rigaud, who is the founder of Skate Town Cincinnati.
Morgan Rigaud, also of you are adjacent to historic West 4th District here in downtown Cincinnati. West 4th is a district that Morgan and her husband Eddie have really put a lot into in terms of developing. This is going to be a great panel. I would encourage all your listeners to come down to the Contemporary Arts Center, hear both about residential development downtown, commercial development downtown, really about vibrancy, about the economic core of our city. You mentioned Tim Elsbrock, who is the regional president from Fifth Third Bank, will be there. Fifth Third has invested so much in Fountain Square, but also in terms of the employee base that they have in downtown Cincinnati that's present every day, that's adding economic impact and supporting small businesses. It's going to be a great discussion.
So we have...
We do need tickets. They're free, but we're asking people to sign up. I will tweet out the link to do that.
Right. And you go to Cincinnati.com. It is a free event, but just so, you know, for crowd management and making sure that we have an idea of what to prepare.
I mean, if it's a chamber event, there'll probably be 500,000 people there.
I'm sure there will be, especially with the, you know, just your membership alone. But I'm excited about this panel, too, because you have a nice cross-section of kind of insiders who are actually working on development, people who rely on downtown for their livelihood, and you have, you know, they're coming together. Sydney is going to be moderating it. We're going to have questions that we have mined from our readers, our audience ahead of time. So, and then also it's just going to be a nice get together because it opens at 6. We'll have a bar, networking, mingling, whatever you want to call it. And then we'll have the panel and then have everybody out of there by 8:00. So.
So, should be great.
Get your dinner reservations.
You know,
downtown.
It fits right in with what we've been doing with Meet Me Downtown, which Sherry, you alluded to earlier. Thank you. You know, about a month ago, we launched this really campaign effort to remind people about the importance of choosing to work downtown. And so we've been calling it Meet Me Downtown. The Chamber has a long history of doing things downtown that encourages people to be down here at night. Taste of Cincinnati, Oktoberfest, Blink, Asian Food Fest, part of the vibrancy of this community. We're also reminding folks in our downtown economic ecosystem that choosing to work down here is important, and habits have changed post-COVID, but frankly, lots of companies have different policies, whether it's 5 days a week or 3 days a week or 1 day a week or totally hybrid. In almost all situations, the employee, the worker, the leader downtown has a choice. Where do I want to go today? And we're encouraging people to come back downtown. If you work downtown, that is important. It's a huge economic ecosystem. There's generally around 80,000 jobs down here, 3,000 employers. And what's so important to me is that the small businesses that rely on that day-to-day workplace traffic need people down here. The city of Cincinnati, in order to be economically strong for the next decade, needs to have an employee base so that we can fund police and fire and parks and rec. And so all of this fits together. And for us as a community to understand that the core of our economic ecosystem is downtown. Everywhere is important, but 80,000 jobs in the center of the city, we have to make sure that's strong and healthy. And that's really what this campaign's about.
We've talked on this podcast just about the evolution of the center city from a primarily workplace destination to a more diverse community, a neighborhood again.
Yeah, it's great.
Where you have people living, where you have people shopping. You know, we've always had, not always, but as of late, one of the draws to come downtown is the restaurants. But we had a story that Sydney did as part of this series about, is it time for downtown to get a Target? You know, a general merchandise. You know, we have a grocery store
Dear
now.
Target.
Where do you buy underwear downtown?
It is, or tights, if you're a woman, and like tights is a big thing.
Is it either or?
No. Just told my boss and my friend Brendan way too much information about me. It's both. But a lot of times you do need tights and there just is nowhere downtown to get them anymore since Saks closed. The Saks is, I have been harping on this all week with my friends. The Saks is location is the perfect place to put an urban Target. By the time the Target is built, the convention center and the hotel will also be either built or being finished being built. It is time. So, dear Target.
Well, I think there's a bunch of different options for a site like that.
You're and, like, no.
And certainly the, you know, being able to have, you know, where Cincinnati really excels, my partner at Ready Cincinnati, Kim Lauterbach, who would be a great guest on this show sometime, by the way.
She's been a guest. It's been a minute.
Has done a great job at attracting jobs to Cincinnati. And we really excel when it comes to corporate headquarters. And so our downtown being this vibrant neighborhood that you talk about, it's not a place where at 5 o'clock the lights go out. In fact, it's
not anymore.
Not anymore.
It used to be.
In fact, it's the kind of place where at 5 o'clock the lights come on. We do blink, obviously. But there's obviously so much that happens downtown, whether it's restaurants or tonight I'm going to the debut at the of the show at the Aronoff or the music venues that are down here or the sports. This is a great place. And so augmenting it with a strong day-to-day economy, residential life. I would much rather be Cincinnati's downtown than a lot of other cities' downtowns, which are still that, you know, at the end of the day, people go home and and then in a post-COVID economy, those downtowns are really at risk. We have this nice base of residential to be able to build on, but there's no mistaking that making sure that folks who have an office downtown come to it, it's important. And let me tell you something. I know, Sherry, for instance, I know how much you put into mentoring young reporters in this newsroom. We've known each other a long time. Burl, that's your probably 90% of your job is to mentor people.
90% of my job is keeping track of what Sherry does.
Sherry's doing?
Yeah.
Good luck. It is for a young employee who's early in career, it is so important to have that human connection, that random happy hour that happens after work or the coffee in the middle of the day when you're frustrated with your boss and you're trying to figure out how to manage that situation. You can't get that connection on Teams. You can't get a lot of things on Teams. And so there's really no substitute for that human connection. We have a flexible work policy at the chamber, which we had long before COVID. And so I want our folks to be able to, if they've got a sick kid, they should manage that. But being present and being engaged with your coworkers and our members and people that we work with, that's a really important part of the society that we're building.
So when you mentioned the importance to come back downtown, and knowing that as a chamber, you exist to support businesses, how did that bubble up, that initiative? Was it something you were hearing from the members of the chamber that is universal, getting people back to work? And not just to come, you know, to come down to support downtown. That's a big part of it. But you mentioned the magic that happens when people work together in person that you can't get done on Teams. It's so important in our business because there's only so much when you go and get a degree in journalism or you come out of school with whatever. Is it time to go to the airport, Sherry?
No, yes.
Anyway, the mentorship that happens, the things you pick up in a newsroom just because you sit in earshot of Sherry and you can hear her working the phones, working her sources. What kind of feedback have you gotten from members about, you know, those types of return to work issues?
That's definitely on people's mind. From a culture standpoint, it's really important. So sure, it's easy for me to talk about small businesses that rely on day-to-day traffic, you know, Bolero, which is a men's clothing store on Vine Street, Jersey Mike's, which just opened, you know, they need that traffic. But as humans, as talent who wants to get developed, who wants to stay in this city and stay at a company for a long time, that human connection with each other is really important. And so we have heard that a lot. I think employers are wrestling with how do they make a policy that also recognizes that people have work-life balance that they have to manage, that in a post-COVID environment, daycare has been a challenge for many parents to try and find affordable daycare. And so employers want to be flexible and understanding. And so where we have come in is to really try and message and talk to people directly to employees about making that choice, to think about, you know, if you've got two meetings downtown and you could take them from Teams, you should come downtown and go to the office. And by the way, downtown's a proxy for if your workplace is in Blue Ash or in Mason or in Independence, you should think about going there too. We're spending a lot of time on downtown because it's the largest job center in Cincinnati with the most kind of businesses where, you know, choosing where to work is a day-to-day choice.
So we are running up on time.
And we do. Brendan brought some news. Started.
Brendan has news and we're going to make
so
sure
much
we
news.
Just do it.
Well, one is we're so excited. Just as we sat down here, I got a note from Sherrod Brown's office that they are putting $500,000 into our region's ability to study the 3C+D corridor for Amtrak, which is Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, Cleveland. There's also three other plans that they're looking at, more frequent Amtrak service on the Cardinal line, which would get you from here to Chicago out of Union Terminal. If you want to ride that now, you got to leave at 3:00 in the morning. This has been a theme of our work at the Chamber over the last decade, really, is really pushing on economic development via infrastructure, is how do we make sure that we're constantly investing in infrastructure. So that's a really great news. Kudos to Senator Brown, also Governor DeWine, who endorsed this effort. That kind of bipartisan support for our community is awesome. I think it's gonna be really great to work on that over the next few years.
Do you have a ballpark idea of the business need for a Cincinnati to Columbus?
No, we've
solution.
Done some work on it. We've certainly had lots of support from businesses, you know, who would use it, who find that drive, you know, there's more productive use of time.
Right. I was saying before we started recording, I would use it right now. I'm in Columbus at least once a week.
Yeah.
And also we should note that now for our readers, our audience, we have to make sure that we don't confuse 3CDC with 3C+D.
3C+D,
like,
sure.
Like we needed another.
Yeah.
We did not.
We needed another acronym
but
or
I'll
whatever
take it.
With
get
C's
a train,
and D's.
I'll take it.
3C+D also sounds like, you know, we always talk about the three C's, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati. And then you have Dayton. Well, what about us?
No, don't forget Dayton. I mean,
Dayton. So it's like 3C+D.
The Cincinnati Dayton Alliance is hugely important. If you start to look at us as a mega region from CVG Airport to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the economic output from that region is monumental. We suddenly become the 19th largest media market in the country, as opposed to today we're the 30th, I think. But the point is that we grow substantially in terms of influence, and starting to think like a mega region in terms of talent and jobs is something that we've been focused on. We went with the Dayton Chamber last year to Dallas-Fort Worth to look at just that. How did they start to grow together? GE's been in the news lately. GE Aerospace, headquartered in Evendale. That is such an enormous win for our region to have that company there growing with high caliber engineering talent, corporate headquarters, as GE has changed over the years. That's an enormous win, and it actually does pull together both Cincinnati and Dayton in a meaningful way.
Yeah, the Metroplex.
A Metroplex. I like that word.
I think that's what I've heard it called before, the Cincinnati-Dayton Metroplex. Now, do you think we'll ever get to the point where, I mean, Dallas-Fort Worth spills out, you know, off the tongue as if it's always been one thing.
Oh, don't make me do names. Make Patty do a story about the names and we can guess what the new name of the metro would be.
Do you think there will be a time where people just, naturally say Cincinnati-Dayton area?
I think they could say Cincinnati-Dayton area. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't. The hard part is, you know, I want to be inclusive of Northern Kentucky too, because that, you know, if you think about airport to airport, it's so crucially important. So we just have to think of ourselves as a mega region.
Yeah.
And when we go to market, we should talk like that.
Well, that's a heady thought right there.
I think big. I like it.
I know. Did you have any more news that you're going to break?
I do. I just want to say, the Enquirer, we've had this long partnership with the Enquirer where we announce Great Living Cincinnatians mm-hmm. in partnership with you with the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
And we just heard about this year's.
We just announced the four Great Living Cincinnatians, John Barrett, Sister Sally Duffy, Dolores Hargrove Young, and Donna Salyers, four absolute hands down luminaries, deserving leaders, great living Cincinnatians in our community who each of their stories are just incredible. And so it's going to be a great night. February 29th is our annual dinner where we celebrate those four individuals. If you're listening and you're killing time at home right now, you should go on our website and go to the Great Living Cincinnatian page, cincinnatichamber.com. And we have the videos from all of the Great Living Cincinnatians that we've done videos for going all the way back to 1967. And it tells the story of Cincinnati's history over the last 100 years in a really cool way. Some really surprising folks on there, some folks who have left unbelievable legacies, people that, you know, following in their footsteps. If more folks followed in their footsteps, we'd be an even better community than we are.
I totally agree. Having been to the chamber dinner where the Great Living Cincinnatians are honored, I leave there not just inspired, but also feeling like completely inadequate, like what these people have done with their lives. And many of them starting off with challenges, you know, that they've had to overcome, and the just each one of them is so inspiring. You do leave there thinking, I can do more. At least I do.
Yeah, we don't want you to feel inadequate. We want you to feel like there's a sense of urgency to be a complete person who cares about their work and their family and improving this community. And if you walk out of there and if you're 10% more attentive to that, the community will reap rewards for a generation.
I completely agree. All right.
I think that's a really great place to end today.
Because Sherry has a flight to catch.
No, because it was inspiring.
I love being transparent with our listeners, Sherry. We have real lives here and everything like that. But speaking of, Brendan is super busy. Brendan comes in here for his podcast recording on the phone, doing business, moving and shaking. We appreciate your time.
Hey, I love the podcast. I love that you do this. I will come anytime until I get my red smoking jacket.
Okay.
We're going to do a lot of great things in the next year at our organization. We partner together with you quite a bit because making sure that we can talk about what's happening in this community, whether it's policy and development and growth, this connection and the fact that business and media talk is really important. And so we'll be here and we'll be back.
Well, and you can see that partnership in full effect if you come December 14 to the CAC, the Contemporary Arts Center, for the Future of Downtown panel. And
you can hit meetmedowntowncincy.com for other information too.
There you go. Well, I think we plugged that.
Yep.
Very well.
Thanks, everybody.
Well, thank you.
Well, Brendan is never not busy. So you know what? He was a good guest to have a quickly repeated guest because usually there's a lot more time in between guests.
Right. And yet another example of why we need to have That So Cincinnati coffee mugs.
I agree. We have a repeat guest next week too.
All right. I have got to. And they're going to be so coveted, That So Cincinnati coffee mug.
I know. Phil and I want to be first in line, right? I'm on 3 cups of coffee too, you guys, today.
Well, you've been busy. I mean, you don't have just one Cincinnati moment. You were just like having all these Cincinnati moments what I can tell.
It's the holidays.
But plus, you went to the soccer game.
I did.
You went to Hell is Real, the playoff version.
I do wonder, did I jinx the soccer team? Because at halftime, when we were up 2-0, I looked at the weather for next Saturday.
Oh, single-handedly. What, 50,000? What's the capacity of that stadium?
It was
26, 28.
Yeah, they always say full capacities, 26,513, 25,000.
So 26,000 people there, and you, Sherry Coolidge, single-handedly sabotage a team because you had the audacity to look at the weather for the following weekend.
This is also, consider this also a shout out to the FC Cincinnati fan and the Crew fan who sat next to me, and they grew up together here. They're best friends from elementary school. And when the Crew did score their first goal, there was some jumping and knocking. An entire beer got poured on me and my purse. And the Columbus Crew fan was so nice. He's like wiping me with like a napkin and everything. And I was like, that's not how this rivalry goes. I was like, we're supposed to be like yelling at each other. And he's like, I'm so sorry.
So
they said they were going to listen to the podcast.
FC Cincinnati lost. You got a beer spilled on you.
That's what happened. Honestly, because they were like, oh, is she going to be mad? I'm like, we're at a sporting event. I cannot stand when things like that at sporting events happen and people get all upset. Like, I don't know. Like, that's like a sporting event thing.
Right. Yeah. You have to go in with the expectation you might get beer splashed on you. You might get shoved around a little bit. It's just kind of the way it is. But, well, at least you were there.
I was. And it was a good night with a lot of people about who care about Cincinnati.
And as we talked about before, you know, the achievement of turning around their performance on the field very quickly and, you know, winning the Shield and then setting themselves up for, you know, the East final. So impressive. And I have some friends from Columbus who said they really enjoyed the stadium. Is our stadium?
We have an amazing stadium. It was actually so hard. We had to give the trophy to our biggest rivals in our stadium. You know what? There's one fan, if you look at the pictures like later online and everything, who was trolling their pictures. He had an FC Cincinnati scarf and he went behind all of like the big pictures and held the scarf
up. Held the scarf up. That's great.
I was like, that is very Cincinnati. That's so Cincinnati.
Are you sure that wasn't Jeff Birding?
I'm sure. I'm sure.
All right.
But it was a full day.
Yeah.
Because we did get our Christmas tree and we've gotten our Christmas tree. We used to get it from Caracol, would sell trees and their trees were beautiful. They were trucked in from North Carolina. And I just loved doing it. I thought it was supporting a good organization. And Caracol has moved away from that. And actually, they sell seeds now to plant trees, which I love because there's a Christmas tree shortage and everything. Mm-hmm. So they kind of pivoted and that's lovely, but we still did want a tree. And so I Googled where to get Christmas trees and we went over to Newport to Tom Smith's Christmas tree lot. And it's been there a very long time.
Tom Smith's
Christmas. M-I-T-T apostrophe S.
Okay.
And their trees were just lovely. They bring in their trees like fresh almost every day. It's a super fresh tree. And I thought it was reasonably priced. And then Alex and I had a day date. He decided he didn't want to go to the soccer game with me. We had a day date. And we went to the Hofbrau House.
Oh, the Hofbrau House.
The Hofbrau House.
I love going to the Hofbrau House. I love that kind of food. I love the energy there.
The college games were on. Yeah. And so we had a nice afternoon together getting our tree there. But I highly recommend them. They, you know, they did all the work. They carried it to the car. And I was very happy.
That's fantastic. Well, we have our tree.
Do you have a live tree?
It's a live tree. Okay. We didn't cut it. The place we went to, they did have some that people were cutting, but they're kind of in that transitional phase where they need a few more years to get their Christmas trees, you know, growing. And a lot of area Christmas tree farms are still trying to recover from, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, we had that drought.
Yes.
And that set them back a bit. And then also during the pandemic, people decided, well, we're spending time inside. Remember there was a spike in live Christmas trees? So between the drought and the spike in people wanting live Christmas trees, that you could still cut there a little bit, but man, they were running out. And you could just see all over the place where maybe 5-10 years from now, they're going to have, you know, a ton of trees to cut. So we bought one of their pre-cut ones that they shipped in, but we always look for the tall, skinny one, which is hard.
You have a high ceiling.
Yeah, it's hard, but we don't want it to like swallow the room. So Lauren would basically get a pole with a few twigs on if she had
her
drive.
She would?
Yeah, she kind of likes that sparse kind of Charlie Brown Christmas tree look. I like one a little more. But we found one there. It was perfect. It's up. It's ready for the Enquirer staff party.
Oh, which is always, you guys, I don't know if like you've seen Christmas office party, but it's kind of like that. It's super fun. I actually have to go away for the rest of this week. And I'll be visiting friends in Washington, D.C. And they're like, why aren't you staying through the weekend? I'm like, my boss is having a Christmas party. And they're like, what the heck? And I'm telling you, it's so fun. So I will be there.
Well, I'm glad you're coming back for it, Sherry. It means a lot to me.
I know. And Phil, we have talked about this. He is Silent Phil for a reason, but occasionally we've mentioned that Phil is a brewer.
Yes, we will have some of producer Phil's brew on tap.
Phil, why don't you say what it is?
Is it still going to be an Irish stout?
It's going to be English brown ale.
English brown ale.
All
okay,
right.
Very good.
Marking that down to bring Glenn Alex knows.
And I think aware. I might have mentioned this before, but the first time we had this holiday gathering at my place, Phil's like, hey, I brew beer. Would you be okay if I brought some over? I'm like, homebrew? Sure, Phil. So he brings it over and it's in the classic frat party ice tub on my deck. And I thought, Phil, this beer is so good. It deserves to be inside on tap on the bar, not sitting out on the deck. But the problem is my bar wasn't hooked up with a tap. So not only does Phil brew beer, he's also very knowledgeable about how to set up a tap. And so now the bar I have between the kitchen and the living room has a tap.
Phil's a problem solver. I don't know.
Oh, he totally is. Yeah.
Dating back to the Jason Williams days, we are problem children, and Phil can solve any problem.
And so now that I have the tap there, like, we have to have Phil's homebrew. It's just like a tradition.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that.
All right. Well, I think we have a podcast, Sherry.
We do.
Should we wrap it up?
Yep.
All right.